My respected brothers and sisters, tonight, with Allah's grace and mercy, we have completed the three first juz, and we have read the completion of Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah Al-Rum, Surah Al-Luqman, Surah Al-Sajda, and part of Surah Al-Ahzab. In the opening verses, or rather the first surah that we recited from the Surah Al-Ankabut, which is in reference to the spider, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the spider web, etc. That was of course mentioned yesterday. We'll continue with what is mentioned today. One of those verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْمُ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. This entire world and whatever happens in this world, whatever transpires in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems this to be nothing but just a short moment of amusement. Whatever happens. Now we've heard this verse before, but my respected brothers and sisters, this verse requires a little bit of deeper pondering. We understand it, but it requires a little bit deeper pondering. Just think of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I'll just give you one glimpse of it, is that we wake up in the morning. We wake up before 8 in order to go to work. We go to work. We toil at work. We work hard at work. We come home. We are exhausted. We look after our families. We give them their budget. We give them the money, expenditures, etc. We attend to. And then we have children. We have families. We have problems in our families. We have problems with regard to our children. Our children go to school. Something happens at school. Our children would grow up older, something happens to them and they grow up older, then their marriage takes place, whatever happens in terms of their marriage, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't work out. We have domestic problems, those domestic problems sometimes play about. Sometimes we have financial problems, the business that we were involved in, that business just goes flat to the ground. All this that happens, and think about it from another perspective also. A woman, for example, she wakes up in the morning, she takes her children to work, to school, etc. She's caring for those children, she washes their clothes, she sees to it that they get food on time, etc., etc., etc. One of them falls ill, she takes them to the doctor, she attends to them. One of them falls really ill, Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah Ta'ala save us all. One of them falls really ill, they are placed in hospital. The mother comes and she shuttles to and fro from the hospital. She in fact stays at the hospital. She sits beside her child. And then her child is falling even further into that illness, Allah Ta'ala forbid. And that child eventually is on his last moments. The mother is crying, the mother is wailing. She's lost a child, she's lost two children maybe, three children maybe. She's lost her whole family, a man has lost his entire family. All this put together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is just lahwun wa la'ib. All this put together is just amusement. It is just a little play. It is something not so significant. My respected brothers and sisters, the example for this here is that a little child comes, a four-year-old, a three-year-old child has to come, and that child has an ice cream in their hand. And they're walking with that ice cream out in the park, and because of the heat, the ice cream melts, and that ice cream falls to the ground. Right? And it is rendered useless now. It falls to the ground. And the moment that ice cream falls to the ground, that child begins to cry. Right? The child has lost his ice cream. The child begins to cry. And the mother who is watching this child, or the father who is watching this child, what does he do? He goes, he embraces the child. But he pacifies the child, saying that what you've just lost is nothing. What you've just lost is nothing. It's just a short moment of happiness, or just a short sweet moment. I'll get you something which is much better, much bigger. I'll buy you another ice cream. That's what the father says. Okay? He pacifies the child. If that child had to cry and continue crying, and assuming we say we could justify the crying of that child, and the child would in fact take the father to court, we'd say such an absurd thing, that would have happened. The child is crying over just a little ice cream is taking his father to court. Now, if that could have happened, of course that's not a probability also, right? But that could have happened. It's just over some trivial issue, the child is just waiting. If the child had to continue crying throughout the night and the next day also, what's the father going to do? He's going to say, now you better be quiet. Alright? You better be quiet, because I'm not going to buy you any ice cream ever again. Alright? And because the father regards it as something, does the father have a sleepless night over there? One ice cream just drops. and because that my child had shed tears so that my eyes can.
Does the father have a stake this night?
No, because it's something very trivial. My respected elders and brothers, the losses of this world and everything that happens in this world and all the catastrophes of this world and all the earthquakes of this world and all the major calamities that take place in this world, this, respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala is saying is lahun. It's just trivial. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now we think, but that is so tight on us, isn't it? That's how we look at it. We say, that's so tight. No. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيْوَانِ. The real life is the life of Akhirah. So if you thought this was a loss, let me tell you there is a much greater loss, which is if you lost in that life, that's a much greater loss. If you thought an earthquake in this world was devastating, then let me tell you there's an earthquake to come much later, زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةَ, that is going to be the real earthquake. If there are families that are completely wiped out completely, or you've lost your children, or they have fallen ill, or whatever else has happened, or you are exhausted coming back from home, and you feel bad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that it's just a little bit of, you know, it's just trivial, it's just amusement, then remember ahead of you is such a day of toil and such a day of terrible effects that you will be perspiring up until your knees, up until your ankles, your knees, and maybe some will be completely convulsed in their own perspiration. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember that this world and everything, and my respected elders and brothers, you know, in this week I just saw there was a picture from NASA. NASA had these images from one of the, you know, one of those rovers or one of those robots that are out in space. And he took an image. One image was taken in 1990, and then another image now was taken. And this image was taken of Saturn as well as the Earth and the Moon next week. And please go and have a look at it. Actually, you type into Google the pale dot. That's what you do. Type into Google the pale dot as the Earth, or you can put Earth too. Respected elders and brothers, that little speck, pale little speck dot, which is like a fleck on the wall, if you have just like a small little fleck on this entire wall here, that is an image which has been taken of this world. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, it is only amusement, that makes us realize that all our troubles, all our, you know, all the fighting, all the problems that we have in this world, whether it is our financial problems or we've lost somebody, etc., it's just a little speck compared to this big, mighty, macro creations which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. We're just like a small little, not even worthy of an atom. We're not even worthy of an atom. And then we come to realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we, this little speck, whereas this is a little speck which is taken from Saturn, which is taken 900 miles. This photo, this image is taken 900 miles away from planet Earth. So there's an image of Earth and next to it the Moon. And it's just like a speck, it's called the pale dot. Then you have a look at it and you'll realize what our significance. And then we'll realize, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ. This world is nothing but just a point of amusement. It is nothing. If you have to look at this macro creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are worthless. We are nothing. We are absolutely not even, you know, worthy of consideration. Now this man realizes only when he takes a look out and he looks, like you say, you know, from a different perspective, then we realize that there are much more greater things which I need to be worried about. And there's much more greater. For scientists and an astronomer probably looks at it, that this world, you know, is a small little piece of mess there, that's all that it is. There must be so many much more greater macro creation, and he goes about looking for planets. But the believer, my respected brothers and brothers, he realizes that yes, this world is just but a speck. This world is just but a small little, you know, it's nothing. So much so that they had to go 900 miles to realize that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that through the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا مَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِنْهَا شُرْبَ كَمَالِ. We know, we come to see of this world today as just a speck. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago said, this world is not even equivalent to the wing of a mosquito. Not even equivalent to the wing of a mosquito. So my respected brothers and sisters, all our problems, nothing is comparable. Imagine if we think that this is, whatever falls upon us today, and whatever happens to us today, we feel that this has really crippled me. And can you imagine the real crippling? If Allah says that this is just an amusement, this is just a small moment. If you think I am going through pain today, and Allah says, oh, that pain, that's not pain. That is la'ibun, that is an amusement. إِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ When we really talk of pain, then that is the here hayawan, that is in the hereafter. Because that is real life. Can you imagine what we'll be facing the hereafter? But similarly, if our enjoyments in this world, the enjoyments that we enjoy in this world, we find them to be so great, and we find them to be so satisfying, and so enriching, whether it is wealth, whether it is, you know, education, or whatever the enjoyments that a person gets, whether it is just physical enjoyment and gratification that a person gets, and we think that this is, oh yes, this is true life, this is real life. Allah Ta'ala is also telling us, on the same token, that don't regard this as true life. This is only amusement. It's a small little glimpse, not even a glimpse of what you're going to get in the hereafter. And this is to tie up with another verse which we read today. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُدْرَةِ أَعْيُنٍ If you saw your children and your children made you happy, you saw your children, you came home and your children ran up to you and they hugged you and that made you really happy. And it really satisfied you and that really does satisfy a person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if that was the coolness of your eyes, then you do not know, because what we have prepared for you in the hereafter, that is really truly the coolness of your eyes. So similarly, the great enjoyments of this world, if this is nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says the hereafter is the real living time, the real life is in the hereafter, so similarly those enjoyments of the hereafter, they would be real, not just a short moment of, you know, just a short momentary moment of some kind of satisfaction. Then, respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Surah Luqman, various advices. And Surah Luqman, if we go on and on speaking about the advices, and even studying the advices that Luqman alayhi salam gave, and the depth of those advices, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these advices, and the way that Luqman alayhi salam, the way he offered these advices, this is all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah. Now, my respected brothers and sisters, one of the advices that he gives, and which is a famous advice which we hear again and again, and that is with regard to shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah. Anishkurli. Allah Ta'ala says, thank me, wali waliday, and also thank your parents. Thank your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has joined his thankfulness with the thankfulness, was showing gratitude towards our parents. These two together. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that think for a moment of how what your parents have gone through. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ Think for a moment of your mother. And this mentioned, this same theme is mentioned many a time. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ Your mother carried you in a moment of weakness upon weakness. She was going through weakness. She was weak herself. She was drained out. But even in that moment she carried you. In that moment of weakness. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ And then she weaned you off. You know, she carried you, even after you were born, she looked after you, she took care of you. And then she weaned you off. She fed you and then she weaned you off. Fi amini. Anishkurli, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this all I have given you so that you can thank me and thank your parents. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, wa in jahadaka ala an tushrika. This is the point which I like to make. That if your parents have to tell you something which is against Sharia, then you don't have to obey them. Now my respected brothers and sisters, Allah blesses us with tawfiq and our lives change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to make a change in life and alhamdulillah we become more religious. Religiousness enters into our life and when religiousness enters into our life, we realize that, you know, there's many things that we have done before which were not correct. There's many things which are part of our family and part of our family's tradition which are incorrect. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that does not give you the right and the mandate to go about and to disparage your parents as you would like. Despite our parents being still on their old culture, our parents being still on some of their own ways, and those ways might not be Islamic. And yes, Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا Do not obey them. If they tell you to do something which is against Sharia, then do not obey them. But immediately, like we say in the same breath, Allah Ta'ala says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا However, in your worldly life, you still live with them in a favorable manner. You still live with them in a favorable manner. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا doesn't just mean live, but صَاحِبْهُمَا means accompany them. That means don't say that my father, he's on some other planet, or he came back with his own culture back home, and he's not going to change. Yes, he's not going to change. But don't go around disparaging your parents, and don't say that I cannot live any longer with them. You know, I cannot live any longer with them. That's it, I just got to, you know, separate myself from them. No, Allah Ta'ala says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا Continue living with them. Continue living with them and continue living with them in a favorable manner. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, when he was invited towards Islam through Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu.
He came to the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked a few pertinent questions and he accepted Islam. He went back home and told his mother, because he was very close to his mother. He took care of his mother day in, day out. His mother told him, you've accepted what the Qurayshi has said, Sabata, you have in fact left the deen of your forefathers. I swear by Allah, I'm never going to eat up until you don't forsake this religion of yours. So, his mother stops eating. He sees his mother withering away. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas doesn't go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, oh Rasulullah, this is my mother, you know, I just have decided to just leave her, whatever happens to her. He stays with her and then he explains to her. He says, my mother, oh my dear mother, you're going to end up weakening yourself in this way, eat something. And she says, no, she's not going to eat. And he carries on begging her to eat. And then after that he says to her, that, oh my mother, let me say this to you, that if you don't eat, you're going to lose your life. And then you might, you're going to lose your life and you'll be gone. And if like that, you have to lose your life many a times too, it's still not going to turn me away from my religion that I've accepted. So I'd still like to be a Muslim. So therefore his mother understands this perspective of his, and he's still favorable towards his mother, he's still in good conduct towards his mother. And my respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps him on Islam. According to one narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his mother also with Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after some time, Allah blessed his mother also with Islam. So when we are faced with this situation, then my respected elders and brothers, when our parents are on a different vibe completely, or our parents are telling us things which are not, according to Sharia, then yes, we don't obey them. But at the same time, that doesn't give us the open card, that doesn't give us the open, that we can go about and disparage our parents as much as we want, and because they are on the other side of deen, and they are in shirk, and they are in bid'ah, and they are doing kufr, and they are doing all these other cultures, and these, these sort of things that we end up uttering. No, my respected elders and brothers, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Despite what they say to us, and that is a parent, the parent will go on saying to us, they have that right to tell us whatever they want to tell us. And yes, we've got to sometimes listen and maybe check it out of the next year if it is not correct. And we still got to remain with them, because that is our duty towards our parents. And similarly, as parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through the story of Luqman. Luqman alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala keeps reminding us. Luqman didn't call his son and say, Ya Ibni, O my son. There's no way he didn't say, Ya Ibni, O my son. Or Ya Waladi, O boy, come here. O my boy, come here. He said, Ya Bunayya, which is a term for endearment. Oh my beloved son, Bunayya is actually a diminutive form. Oh my small, son wasn't small as a kid. But in other words, you are so dear to me, just like how you were dear to me when you were a little infant. That's how dear. That's an address of a father to a son. The father needs to address the son in that way. If we want our children to come onto the correct path, we want, and it is something very, very important. Actually, over the last few days, we've been thinking about this again and again. My respected brothers and sisters, our link with our kids is very important. Very important. One of our young brothers here highlighted it to us, that there are so many cases, there are so many incidents today, here in our country here, where our kids, one is, you see, a child has gone onto drugs, and has gone onto any of these other social ills, as we will call it. But respected brothers and sisters, there is a greater catastrophe which is looming above us. And that is the fact that our children, some of our children, the age of 12 and 13, they are forsaking Islam. They will not tell us as parents, but they are revealing this on their forums. When they are busy talking to other kids, and they are busy chatting with other kids, and they are busy communicating, then this is on their forums that, I have forsaken. I've actually become an atheist, but I don't know how to say this to my parents. This is happening here, it's happening here to our own Muslim. It could be understood if it was in some place where there was absolutely no infrastructure of Islam. This is happening right, like we say, under our noses. And Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah forbid, Allah forbid again. If this could be happening right in our own families, in our own homes, none of us are safe from it. No alim, no maulvi, no mufti, nobody is safe from this here. It's like an epidemic which is spreading. And one reason of keeping our children still in debt is, my respected brothers and sisters, keeping that close contact with them. And keeping that close contact and instructing them, or not instructing them, but rather talking to our children in a lovable way and getting them to do things of deen in a lovable way. Now look at how Luqman addresses his son. He doesn't say to his son, oh my, come here, this is what you do, perform salah. If you don't perform salah, see what I do to you. No, Luqman says to his son, Ya Bunayya, oh my dear son. And in fact, in this one verse here, before even saying to him about, before even talking to him about about other serious issues, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam talks to him about salah, and thereafter about wa'mur bil ma'rufi wa nah 'anil munkar. Ya bunayya, first he teaches him tawheed, right? Teaches him first the respect of his parents, and then teaches him to read, Ya bunayya innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardalin. If there is even a particle, an atom, which is hidden in the heavens or in the earth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it, and Allah will bring it forth. So he teaches his son to read. This is ayah number 16. I just want to go and see the number of the ayah. If ever anyone, anything of us, ours gets lost, some of the ulama say that if ever anything of yours gets lost, you can't find it. So long as something halal, of course, and you can't find it, read this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defeat that. Ayah number 16 of Surah Luqman. But this was Tawheed. And the second verse Allah ta'ala says, Ya bunayya aqimis salah. Luqman said, Oh my dear son, establish salah. And after establishing salah, because salah is a pillar of Islam, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, instruct your children to lead salah when they are 7 years of age. And then reprimand them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, chastise them when they are 10 years of age. So make them habitual from the age of 7. We bring our children, alhamdulillah, here to the masjid when they're barely 4 and 3. And they run around in the masjid and we say, but that is what the Prophet said. And we need to be a... No, Allah Ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, instruct your children to lead salah when they are 7. Meaning that by the age of 7, they should already know how to lead salah. How will they get to know to lead salah? When we will teach them salah in our homes. That is the duty. Because actually, my respected elders and brothers, you know the sunnah and the nawafil that we read. It is convenient for us that we read it here in the masjid. It's convenient for us. Because of course we're going to work and we, you know, to and fro in that way. But ideally, these sunnah and the sunnah and the nawafil, they should be read at home. They should be read at home. We as the men folk too, we should be reading them at home. And when we will read them at home, then your son will be next to you. Because nobody goes to an interview with his 3-year-old child running around for the, during that interview. This is an interview with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we get sometimes the wrong end of the stick. We should teach our children about salah before the age of 7. At the age of 7, we now begin to instruct them to do salah. And it will become a habit within the 3 years. By the age of 10, if they have to miss out salah, we can now be behind the case, so to say. So that by the age of 15, or when they become baligh, salah is part and parcel of their life. And a person who has never missed a single salah in their entire life, the fuqaha call him a sahibut tartib. There is laws, fiqhi laws which are pertaining to that person also. A person who's never missed a single salah for the entire life, there are laws pertaining to that person in relation to salah, and they are called the sahibul tartib. It is said a person who has never missed a single salah in his entire baligh life, that person, jannat becomes wajib for that person. Jannat becomes wajib for a sahibul tartib. So my respected elders and brothers, this is the whole procedure. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned, Luqman said, establish salah. And then what did he say to his son? And this is the important factor for this thing that we are facing now. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He said this to his son that, Oh my son, go about and instruct or go and instruct towards good and forbid from evil. Now normally when we hear about, you know, order people to do good and forbid from evil, we think that this is something, you know, this is beyond us. No, my respected elders and brothers, this is what needs to be inculcated in our children. In other words, a sense of glory with regard to the Islam. They have Islam in them, they are establishing salah in them, and then they are proud and they have the sense of glory in them with regard to their Islam. So our children, even at the age of 9 and 10, if they are out there and they are talking to somebody, they are not shy in any way to say that they are Muslim. In fact, they will be, even at the age of 9 and 10, they will be influencing others to join them towards Islam. Because wa'mur bil ma'ruf, this order, instruct towards good, instruction takes place at all different levels. For example, when we are at home, and mother called you to eat, right? You know, this when you were young, your mother has to call you to eat, and while you're busy playing PlayStation, or that, and the mother calls you to eat, and the mother calls the father to eat, mother calls her parents to eat, maybe, there is a different level of instruction for each one. When she shouts out for you, how does she shout? If you don't come and eat now, I'm going to ban you from ever playing PlayStation again. All right? And when she calls out to the husband, she first has to check his mood. And if she sees that he's mood okay, he looks okay, I think, then come to eat now, it's time now. Okay? And if it's not the right mood, then she says, you sure? Would you like to come to eat? Or she sends us, go and call your father. Okay? That's what she says. Okay? And then her parents, how would she tell her parents? She wouldn't tell her parents that if you people don't come down now, I'll take your walking stick away. She didn't say that. You know? That she, there is a level of wa'mur bil ma'ruf. There is a level of giving instruction. So similarly, children, my respected elders and brothers, also have a way, and they also have to instruct towards good in their own level, in their own capacity. But this will only come, salah is coming to their life, and they have a sense of glory and pride about their Islam, that they're not frightened to display their Islam out there. If somebody asks, has to ask our daughter, why are you wearing a scarf? She doesn't say, because my father said so, you got to take it off. You mean something's going to happen? No. She says, no, because this, I'm a Muslim and I wear a scarf. She might not be able to be so eloquent in giving her, you know, giving an entire fiqhi discussion on why the scarf should be worn and niqab, etc. But she says, because this is, because I'm a Muslim, I've got to wear it. And that has an impact. That has an impact. One of our brothers, one day he mentioned to me with regard to one of our local schools here, that a little girl, she was wearing a scarf to school. And after some time, the teacher one day asked her that. So she said, exactly. She said, no, I'm a Muslim, that's why. So a few days later, the teacher said, do you have a spare scarf for me too? And a few days later, the teacher also wore the scarf. And the teacher then finally, after some time, I think the teacher had left teaching. But before the teacher left, the teacher told her that when I leave, I've got the scarf of yours. That one day I will wear the scarf, just like how you wear it every day, one day I will wear it also every day. This is happening here in our last day. So my respected brothers and sisters, this is what needs to be inculcated in our children. With love, instruct them about, or with love, teach them about Tawheed, about Allah. With love, teach them about the injunctions of Shariat, which is Salah, of course. And with love, teach them to be so proud about their Islam, that when they will go out there, they will be a pamphlet, they will be a newsletter about Islam on their own. They might not be eloquent enough to speak, they might not be able to say words, but just their, you know, just their conduct, just their dressing, just their display alone, that inshallah will be an invitation towards Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq.